Isabelle Legeron is France's only female master of wine, and according to the drinks business, is the standard bearer for the natural wine movement and one of the top 50 most powerful women in the industry. She's also the driving force behind Raw Wine, the UK's biggest fair for natural, organic, and biodynamic wine, with satellite fairs now in New York and Berlin, and even more events in the works. Isabelle is a lovely individual too, and anything but a wine snob. She's someone I've learned a great deal from, about how to enjoy and better appreciate wine. And she's about to call me for a quick chat to talk about her take on wine and about how she came around to it. All right, I think that's her now. Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Isabelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Keeping warm?
I'm trying to, desperately. It's like a blizzard out here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just short of that where I am in London. Yeah, but thank you. So we were supposed to meet and talk, and we got snowed in. So thank you very much for the time. And you ready to chat a little bit about raw wine and natural wine and what you do?
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you. Okay, so, well, let's start from the beginning. So, as I understand it, you are the only master of wine who's female from France right now, yes?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay, and you've had that for, sadly, a long time, hasn't it been?
I know, I think it's since 09 now.
Okay.
Coming on to 9 years.
Well, congratulations. I think you need some company there, but anyway, good job.
Yes. Yeah. Let this be a message to everybody out there, particularly anybody based in France. We need more of you.
Yes. Very, very true. Very true. So how did you get into wine?
So my family have a vineyard in southwest France in Cognac.
Oh, okay.
And everybody in my family, whether it's my grandparents, great grandparents, you know, like I think we're the sixth or seventh generation, we've always farmed vines and then distilled them. So my family has a tiny distillery, basically.
Okay.
And then, you know, as a kid, I was always involved in farming. I was always involved in helping out, doing the vintage, and all this. And then decided that actually that maybe this is not what I wanted to do. So I left, I went to university, studied business. And very soon after my sort of career in business, you know, in London, I actually realized I was missing the farming and missing the wine. So I went back to studying and I studied wine again and then started a wine career.
Okay.
So I'm a latecomer.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, what was it that you missed?
I miss nature.
Okay.
You know, I missed sort of that, in a way, this really magical transformation, you know, of farming something and then making wine out of it. Or, you know, I mean, I love everything that we can make from very simple produce, you know, whether it's cider or mead. And working, you know, I'm still in London, so I like the urban environment, but I also really like to be connected with nature. And for me, you know, the work that I do, particularly working with farmers who are organic, you know, really keeps that really strong connection that I really value.
Sure. So you said you like nature, so it makes sense you're into natural wine. But for those maybe not so familiar with it, what does that term mean, natural wine?
So it means that the those wines are first of all produced from organically grown grapes. So, you know, people who make natural wine and low intervention, you know, sort of wines, first of all really care about that piece of land that they are farming. So at most people will use, you know, some copper, some sulfate perhaps in the vineyards. Actually more and more people, you know, are using very little, and some people only use perhaps a little bit of sulfur sprayed on the vineyards, and some people manage to actually not really use anything at all. They're also replacing, you know, these artificial fertilizers by perhaps green manure or cow manure.
Okay.
With fertility of the soil. So, you know, I would say natural wine is divided up into two parts. So the farming is obviously the most important part, because you cannot really make very strong, healthy natural wine without any additives, without having a very strong, healthy grapes to start with.
Okay.
And then growers also really care about this microbiological life, which is inside the wine. You know, when you bring in grapes and you crush them and you press them, you know, there's a very sort of magical process that happens, carried out by the wild yeast population. And they start consuming the sugar and they start creating alcohol. And then this creates a very rich environment full of yeast, bacteria, and you know, millions of different sort of microorganisms. And when you make natural wine, you make sure that you preserve this life inside that juice all the way to the bottle and all the way to your glass.
Right.
So for me, the working naturally is in a way is the ultimate respect for you know, for nature and living organisms.
Okay. And you just stumbled into that? Was this something that your family had been doing? What was the connection for you that made you be, you've been called the standard bearer for natural wine. How did that come about?
Well, you know, my family's story is very relevant to all of this. When I was growing up, you know, and I'm a child of the 70s, you know, I was born in 72.
Me too. And
were you?
Yeah.
Sadly, it's not a very good vintage for many, many wine regions, but otherwise a good year. Basically, when you know, when I was growing up, I was very much brought up on a extremely organic vineyard. I mean, you know, my family didn't do anything. We didn't have much machinery. Everything was done by hand. The harvest was done by hand. The vintage was done by hand. And you know, I was really brought up. You know, we would collect snails. We would collect wild morels. You know, the mushrooms in springtime in the vineyard. We would collect wild salads. We really used, you know, there were wild asparagus growing everywhere.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which was really, yeah, it was really beautiful. But then very slowly, my parents, under the pressure of not enough time, you know, they also had cows and pigs and obviously kids and they had cereals, they were making their own bread, you know, basically we were like a small polyculture farm. But very slowly, you know, my parents gave in to the pressure of using more and more machinery. They bought a machine harvester in the 80s. Then they started spraying. Rather than cultivating the soil, they started using weed killers.
Uh-huh.
And I really saw, and to this day, to be honest, you know, my brother took over the farm, and actually he's a conventional farmer. And so I really saw what happened, I think, in a lot of families, you know, in the kind of the late 70s, 80s, 90s.
Right.
And when I finished my studies and worked in London in a number of jobs, and when I was really missing nature and I guess the way I was brought up as a kid, I thought wine would be the answer. So I went back to studying wine and I started meeting a lot of wineries and winemakers, but you know, I realized actually a lot of people had, in my opinion, sold out to using a lot of machinery and using a lot of equipment and using a lot of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually quite disillusioned, and I didn't really find an industry that resonated with my values. But at the same time, I started, you know, noticing that some people were doing things differently, and that's kind of how I stumbled across this, almost like this small parallel universe, which is, you know, which is really in line with how I live my life and what I believe in, and that's when I knew that this is kind of, this was the area where I wanted to to work in.
Okay. And you do, and I think the main thing is raw. So what is raw wine, and how did that come about?
So raw wine is I guess it's above all is bringing together a community of people who actually like I've just said, you know, all believe in the importance of farming really properly and with care, and making wine with as little as possible in terms of additives. So raw wine started as a wine fair in 2012 in London, and then expanded to Berlin. We now do also an event in New York and Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in LA now too.
Yeah, we are. Which was really exciting. We launched last November.
Okay.
Congratulations. And the idea is really to bring together, a group of growers, put them in touch with members of the trade, members of the public, and also really communicate about this idea of transparency. Chris, you're also in the wine industry. You know in as much as me that we are in an industry that has actually very little sort of in terms of transparency. You know, you go into a store, you pick up a bottle of wine, and there's no way of knowing actually what's gone into that bottle
sure.
of wine.
Yeah.
So what I really wanted to do with the fair is start getting people to actually ask questions. You know, actually, what has gone into that bottle of wine? So the idea is to produce a fair where we are completely transparent. So if people use a little bit of sulfites, then we completely declare, this bottle has 30 parts per million, which is a unit of measure for sulfites. Or maybe this wine has been fined with bentonite. Mm-hmm. Or maybe this wine is not suitable for vegan or vegetarian because, and in fact, we only have one wine in the fair that is not suitable for vegan or vegetarian.
Okay.
Wow. Out of over 1,000. But a lot of wines out there on in the commercial sphere, in shops and supermarkets, are actually possibly not suitable for vegans or vegetarians. But again, we don't have this information.
Yeah. Okay.
So wine was about really building a community of people who all believe in the same thing, who will come to LA and taste the wines and then meet the growers and maybe list the wines on their wine list. But also somebody who might just, be a family and they've decided that they want to maybe think about how they're drinking.
Okay, sure. And do you find what people are looking for, what points they raise, differ whether they're in New York, Berlin, London, now Los Angeles, or is it pretty much the same movement, the same interest wherever you go?
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. I find that actually the profile of the person who will come to the fair is pretty similar. Whether we are in LA, Berlin, London, or New York, they tend to be actually quite, I would say, sort of young-ish. They are people who've started to actually understand a little bit about wine. They might not be super knowledgeable. I'm talking more in terms of the members of the public. They have an interest. But above all, what links everybody is mainly two things. Is A, they really care about the environment. So actually, they're quite environmentally conscious. They're the people who will go to the farmer's market and maybe source, that specific piece of beef or make sure that maybe the vegetables they buy is whatever is in season rather than buying strawberry right now, for example.
Okay.
And also there are people who are increasingly health conscious. So I think people who actually realize that, wine can have tons of residues,
right.
pesticide residues in them, wines that can have additives, and we're not quite sure what they are, we're not quite sure what they do to the body. And I think there are people who are increasingly asking questions and also who really care about the art of doing things really properly. I think there's a real renaissance of the craftsmanship across the world, where we appreciate more and more, doing things properly and doing a piece of furniture properly. And I think this movement of being interested more in kind of these wines is part of that same movement.
Okay. Well, it sounds like natural, organic, and biodynamic wines are definitely better for the environment and better for you, or at least not as bad as more mainstream commercial wines. But do they taste better? Can they taste better? The better value for money?
This is always a big debate, isn't it? The value for money. I think that particularly, I mean, look, we're both based in the UK. I think the UK is an extremely sensitive market in terms of price points. I think, unfortunately, people are used to actually paying not very much money for wine. I think that, you know, a lot of the time when you spend £5 on a bottle of wine, I mean, how much of that is actually wine? You know, when you know that the duty is above £2 a bottle, packaging, transport, all of that. So I think these wines, organic, you know, low intervention, organic, biodynamic, natural wines, cost more to produce. They cost more to buy, okay. But I think they are fairly priced, and I think and very often, given the amount of work that goes into it, given the amount of concentration in terms of flavors, because these growers work very often with very low yielding sites and vineyards,
yeah,
and vineyard management, but actually they represent tremendous value for money.
Okay.
Very often, and I think we just need to maybe start thinking about it in terms of maybe we need to drink a little bit less, you know, okay, but perhaps drink a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you there. So you are in the UK. What brought you to London, and how do London and the UK compare with respect to the natural wine and available and consumer choice to anywhere in the world?
So yes, I mean, I've been here 20 years now.
Okay.
I'm finally applying for my passport, so hopefully I won't be turned down,
because yeah, right,
I'm still a French national, but let's not get into the difficulties of the political climate. Although you know, I think the scene in terms of wine is really affected by Brexit and the weak currency.
Yes.
You know, wines are coming in, and they are now becoming more expensive. Wines coming in from Spain, Italy, France. So I think that is impacting, I would say, the landscape.
Okay.
In London and in the UK. So I think importers are finding it probably quite, you know, even more difficult now to sort of introduce these wines that will probably be even more expensive on a wine list than they would have done maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
I think the UK is, you know, I was thinking about that yesterday, compared with, you know, we work now in the US and in Germany and in the UK, and the market in the US is really vibrant and actually not very price sensitive.
Okay.
And I know that a lot of importers are finding it difficult to get enough volume actually to satisfy, you know, the demand.
Wow.
Whereas I think that the UK is an incredibly difficult market to get into. Once you've got the correct, you know, the right importer and distribution, then it's fine. But in terms of availability, I think that there is, you know, I would say that most of the growers out there, you know, are available on the UK marketplace. I think we have there's a great choice. It's not always easy to get to if you're, you know, obviously based outside of London or outside of a slightly bigger place, because these wines tend to be available in restaurants, I would say, in maybe bigger cities.
Okay.
So you have to work a bit harder to find them, and also weirdly, there's a strange lack of shops or, you know, sort of retail outlets where you can find these wines. So you find the odd place, but I would say that, you know, the wines are definitely in the UK. Getting them, you know, getting hold of them is not always easy, which is why, for example, at the fair, we're doing a pop-up shop, so that actually we could, you know, people come and then they can actually buy a bottle, because okay, they're not always very easy to get hold of.
Okay.
But, you know, the landscape is much, much more vibrant than say, for example, Spain or Germany. There's a lot more stuff available in France, but that's mainly the you know, obviously the French growers. But we are, you know, we're still in a very rich market where I would say most wines actually, you know, get to the UK. So you can find them, but there's still a lot more room for growth.
Okay. And when is the fair in London? When is Raw Wine?
So it's next weekend.
Okay.
It's on the 11th and 12th of March on the Strand, at a really great location called The Store. on 180 the strand. We have over 150 growers coming, so there's literally over 1,000 wines, I think, to taste at the fair.
Okay.
And we've got people coming from really literally all over the world, and with a really healthy representation from Central and Eastern Europe. So, you know, if you've never tasted a wine from the Czech Republic, from Croatia, from Georgia, it's a really good place to be.
Okay.
And also tons of French, tons of Italians as well coming to present their stuff. And also we have like exciting ciders coming from Poland, exciting ciders coming from Sweden as well. So there's a great diversity this year.
Great. And so from my experience, it's a fantastic fair, and it's a great opportunity to try a lot of interesting wines and to also speak with the person who possibly picked the grapes, did almost everything involved with making that wine, sometimes even gluing the label on the bottle. And it'd be more of that this time, I'm guessing.
I mean, to be honest, I would say most people there who come, I mean, you know, some a few growers are of maybe a slightly bigger outfits and they have more people in the team, but most of the people who come into the fair, most people coming at the fair, you know, they will be the people farming, harvesting, and then putting everything in the vats and keeping an eye over it, and then exactly bottling and all of this. So they will be able to tell you all the story about the wines. You know, and I think the key, because I think it can be quite daunting. It can be really daunting when you come into an environment like this, because you walk into a room and, you know, there's people pouring wine. There are people who are looking like very experts, and they know, you know, they've got their nose in their glasses, they're writing tasting notes. And I think the key is just to walk in and really not worry about any of that.
Sure.
Because the growers are really friendly, and they've come all this way to be able to talk to us about what they do.
Sure.
So I think, you know, don't be intimidated by like the sheer volume of wines available to taste, and use the spittoon. That's my top advice.
Excellent. Well, it's great advice. So just a little more advice. How can people find out more about Raw Wine and what you do?
So we have a website, which is www.rawwine.com. That's RAWWINE.com.
Great.
Then you can find information about the London Fair, also the Berlin Fair and other events.
Okay.
But I think what's pretty nice about the website is that you can go in and explore all the growers. So you have, we've got this new website now, but there's tons of information, you know, about each cuvée, what salt type, what kind of vessels, was it clay, was it oak, was it stainless steel, what kind of grape varieties, how much sulfites was used. So whether or not you're able to come to the fair, you can still find out a lot about the wines and decide for yourself whether or not actually maybe you want to taste those or seek them out.
Right. Okay. Wow. Well, that's great.
One thing, if I may.
Yes, you may. Yeah, of course.
If you're, we have dozens of restaurants who are part of Raw Wine Week.
Okay.
Across the UK. So if you cannot come to London, but you're in Edinburgh, there's an event in Edinburgh where people will be pouring wines from the fair, same in Brighton, same in Sheffield, and all of those details are on the website. So if you can't come to London, then I'm sure you can try and taste some of those wines anyway.
That's excellent. Thank you. All right. Well, I know you are super busy right now, so I don't want to keep you much more, but was there anything else, Isabel?
No. Well, I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes. Yeah, I can't wait. It's really a highlight of the year for me, actually.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to do this interview.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Chris.
See ya.